Hey, Brandon.
Hello, Alan.
Back in for a Not a Thing podcast. This time, I'm back in Florida.
Oh,
Right, what did I do to deserve this?
I don't know, Alan. You probably don't want that recorded on the internet.
Well, I'm in Florida again, this time in a different part of Florida. I'm in wonderful, picturesque Orlando.
Are we using the same dictionary? Is
I
picturesque mean the same thing there as it does here?
well,
Have you gone native, Alan?
it is my second trip out here, so I'll figure it out.
No, you're practically right. You should change your driver's license. Then you could be Florida man. But on the
Well,
plus side, Not a Thing podcast, coast to coast.
yep,
Take that, Space Coast.
not the I miss Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
I know, so do I.
I mean, I liked the Brack show when that kicked on, but it wasn't the same.
No.
Was just it, the right level of surreal. Like when that and Harvey Birdman.
Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law, one
Yep.
of the best shows ever created. Hoosh.
Thing.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, well, unfortunately, not a thing this week, apparently, is net neutrality. So I apologize to all of you that might have to pay higher fees in order to listen to our free podcast.
Yeah, that's really not a thing.
Yeah, for those of you that are not aware, net neutrality was embodied kind of in the FCC's Open Internet Order, which more or less, mostly less, said that the internet should not be regulated in a way where you can kind of inspect the traffic in order to deal with or to assess fees. So in other words, you can't have toll lanes on the internet. So like you could have a fast lane based on your traffic. Like you can still buy bandwidth, but the bandwidth is used for whatever you want to use it for. So that's where the neutrality aspect comes from it. The companies that are behind the lobbying of whatever in order to get this to go through essentially said that no, we can make things be more expensive just by virtue of what kind of traffic it is. So streaming traffic could be treated differently than, regular web browsing or web browsing to specific sites or whatever. And yeah, it's bad. I just think it's bad. Not a
The Wild West of the internet just got a little less wild.
thing. I mean, the FCC is still committed to undoing this and fixing it up, which I think is good. I mean, that's some commitment there. I mean, the original Open Internet Access Law did have some flaws. I mean, there were issues about how it defined internet service providers differently than phone and voice providers, which is why the one of the biggest pieces of it was that in phones you can't have a monopoly, but on the internet, sure, why not? And it just seems bad.
As someone who works at a possible telco institution, I have no comment other than net neutrality should be a thing.
So, check it out. There's a lot of, we'll post a couple links probably in the show notes, explaining it maybe a little more eloquently than we did just now.
Regulation bad.
I found a really cool kind of web comic that lined it out. I thought really well. I mean, obviously it had a spin on it to say net neutrality is bad, but or rather it's good, and that breaking it the way that in this case Verizon is bad.
They're
So
breaking bad, is that what you're saying, Alan?
wait, no, that's good. Wait. It's the best show on television. Hold on.
As a TV show, it's good. As a thing, it is bad.
Yeah. So I hope to one day be able to listen to this podcast in a free and open internet. Let's you know, in 2014, let's kind of shoot for that.
Yeah. Why not?
Also, something to shoot for, hopefully as soon as possible in 2014, is clean water.
Yeah, that should have been like 1914 problem, not 2014 problem.
Yeah, I guess in West Virginia, some plant that handles coal, I think they use this crazy industrial chemical to handle coal, and what they do is it's for washing the coal, which I didn't know was a thing, but apparently the deal is that people don't like dirty coal, right? Like, so if you're burning it, it's really dirty, and so there's a way to wash the coal, and it removes like certain things from it, sulfur, etc. And it does that by they like pour this crazy chemical into the water, and it foams up, and then the coal part will float, and then the crappy part will sink, and then they just skim off the good stuff, and then they go burn it in a factory somewhere. But the chemical that does this was somehow released into a river that is upstream from like a town, and I forget how many people were without water. It seemed like a
300,000.
Oh God, that's a lot.
Yeah, 300,000 people without drinkable water.
Yeah, that's super bad. And the thing that I read was that once they're given the all clear, then they have to flush all the water that's essentially in the system, because, you know, water hangs out in your pipes. That's how you have water pressure. And so, like, you have to essentially run all the taps in your house for like 15 minutes, but only after you're supposed to, because otherwise, even with just the water running, it sounded like it was aerosolizing and it's still bad for you, so you shouldn't even be around it. I just feel like this is not a thing that should ever happen.
That just sounds like good science. I mean, why wouldn't we use these chemicals to do these horrendous things? I mean good things that only potentially horrendous. American capitalism.
Mostly a good thing, I think. I don't know. Is the jury still out on that one? I don't know.
On clean coal? I don't know if you could see those quotations I put around clean, because it's, you know, a verbal medium, but still.
Well, you know, we wish our friends in West Virginia, you know, all the best in trying to get access to water. I hope that that's resolved pretty soon, because that's pretty awful. 300,000 people is a lot of people.
That is not a small number, yes.
That's like four of the new football stadium.
They should go poison, I mean, spill chemicals up at Seattle Stadium since they're refusing to sell tickets to Californians.
That is 100% not a thing. Because
that's so weak.
Well, think of it. I mean, the thing that's going to happen is that people in Seattle are going to buy them, and that's fine, I guess, and then turn around and sell them on the internet through StubHub or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the only people that will win are scalpers.
Yeah, you're just going to gouge the Californians.
Yeah.
Who are already going to have to spend money to fly up there.
Yeah.
Or drive or whatever. Teleport. If you're teleporting to Seattle, let me know, because I want teleport technology.
Yeah. Teleporting, absolutely a thing.
I should put an ad on Craigslist. Looking for teleport technology.
That would be probably pretty exorbitant, and maybe a bad use of new technology.
That's for the future to decide, Alan. We are not the arbiters of our own actions.
And
That's for the future to decide.
indeed.
Said the guy who thought up the idea of putting chemicals on coal.
Well, in other kind of interesting future news at CES last week, which I've actually not been following. Have you been looking at CES stuff?
Nope. Got my finger right off the pulse.
I've only heard of two things at CES, and this is really an unfortunate set. So I'll save the one that we were going to talk about, and the other one that I've heard of, which I think fits more with a different convention that's in Las Vegas in a similar time frame. Not the AVN Awards, actually, but the SHOT Show, which is kind of, it's guns. It's a gun show. It's just a huge gun show. But one of the things
Do
that was
they get tickets to the gun show? I've got tickets. I can scalp on StubHub.
Yes. So one of the things that was either at CES or at the SHOT Show or both is a rifle that you don't shoot. You just kind of point in the direction of the thing you want, and what you're doing is when you're pulling the trigger, you're not actually pulling the trigger to shoot at that thing. You're pulling the trigger to mark that target, and then gyros engage and will track the target moving up to 10 miles per hour in order to shoot it.
Wait, we talked about that on the podcast like months ago.
Did we?
I think we broke the story early.
Oh my gosh. And I forgot about it. Well, I saw it on the I saw the oh man. Wow. Okay, I'm gonna have to reach back into the old memory hole for that one. But I did see that press release this week. Okay.
No, I definitely remember talking about that because I had a concern with giving targeting technology to robots
That's right.
because you're
Yes.
giving the machine the control, and that's
Exactly.
not a thing.
Right, because you're not shooting it. You're just marking the target, and then the robot shoots or the
Yeah.
computer shoots. Right.
Then who's to stop the computer from marking things itself? It's a slippery slope, people.
Yeah. Well, apparently they cost $10,000, and there have already been 40 orders placed for them.
Oh, well, stay away from those 40 people.
Yeah, right.
Unless one of them is listening and wants to let me shoot that, I will totally do it.
The
For the good
other
of science.
right. The other thing that it has included, which I thought was kind of interesting, is that it will, because there's obviously cameras involved in like image detection and stuff, you can get a record of your, they say you're hunting. Maybe, I guess. But you get a record of whatever you're hunting in video form, and it's Wi-Fi enabled, so it can post it to YouTube and tweet about it. I feel like that might be bridging a couple technologies there that I don't necessarily want bridged.
It's a couple leaps too many.
So
Go less boldly, people.
the one that I think is more interesting, the one that we'd talked about, was the a company called I think it's 3D. It's really funny. It's like 3D Systems or something like that. They made the Chef Jet, which is a 3D printing, it's a 3D printer that uses sugar as its medium. So rather than using, extruded plastic or whatever, it's printing in sugar. And it's edible, but you can pretty much make whatever shape you want because it just kind of polymerizes the sugar, and you get fairly intricate looking shapes. It's hard to tell what the texture is or the size. I mean, the photos are very, very small, so they don't describe it at all. It's more of a kind of splashy press release for vaporware, probably. I mean, as is a lot of CES. So it's kind of cool, because I think, coming back to our I mean, we mentioned it earlier in the show, the stuff from Star Trek should exist, or should be things, the transporters, that this is one step closer to a food replicator.
Well, didn't you say that gun rig cost about 10 grand?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can get the Chefjet Pro 3D printer for about 10 grand. So
Oh.
you can either get a 3D printer for sugar or something that will hunt human. I mean, targets.
The most dangerous sugar game.
Yeah. What, Candyland?
Well, I think
No, Candy Crush.
oh, that is oh. I've yet to succumb to that game. I think I was a Bejeweled Blitz kind of maniac for a little while, and then I was able to kind of wean myself off of it. I really should not pick up another thing like that. So
Oh,
maybe I
you
should pick
just
up.
quit heroin? Let's try meth.
Hey, back to Breaking Bad. Well done. Indeed. Well, the other kind of fun and interesting thing that is one of the reasons I was out here this week, out here in Florida, was I got to see John Bon Jovi.
This would be the point where someone would normally cheer, but I'm not going to do
It's kind of interesting. I mean, he was, booked for a private event. I mean, my company was able to get him to show up at our annual conference, and that's kind of impressive. I mean, it's obviously, probably a pretty good expenditure of money. On top of which, we didn't just go see him like, at a venue. We went and saw him at Universal Studios, Florida. And they blocked off part of the park, and we got to ride like the crazy roller coaster, which might be my new favorite roller coaster. I think it's ridiculous. I don't know if you're a roller coaster person, but it begins by not, I mean, there are a couple ways that like roller coasters usually begin. They do that thing where they push you out, and then you go down like a little loop or a little hill, and then you hit kind of a thing, and a chain drags you up the big hill, and then you go down. This is
Right.
not like that. And it's not like the kind where it has the hydraulic rams that like you it the pistons go, and then you just start flying off at really fast speed. What they do is it does bring you up to a really high drop, but instead of like going up an incline, it immediately, after you get out of the kind of boarding area, it immediately goes vertical. And so you're freaking out because you cannot see anything. Like the way that the thing is arranged, you can't kind of see off to the side, not really. You can just see that you're going straight up, and then as soon as you crest the hill, they make the cars really short, so there's no lag time at all. As soon as you crest the hill, you're going, and it is crazy. I mean, there is, I think it won like, or it has some award, or I don't know if you even, are there awards for roller coasters? I don't know. It has the
I think there are.
there probably are, but it has the longest non-inverting loop. I mean, it does invert through quite a bit of it, actually. There's a the first big loop is a corkscrewing loop. Oh, jeez. Anyway, there's a part of it where it loops around in circles, and you're pretty much just horizontal the entire time. It goes around and around a like a little tower 3 times, and then does this kind of inverted downward thing, which is nuts. It's a really good roller coaster.
That sounds awesome and/or horrifying, depending on your view of roller coasters.
So, one of my coworkers, we kind of peer pressured her into getting on the coaster, and she handled it like a champ. I mean, she had a really good time, and she was yelling the whole time and everything. She revealed to us later in the trip that was her first roller coaster ever, and I feel like that may have been a bad thing. Because we work very close to a small amusement park in California that has a lot of roller coasters, and none of them are at this level. I think Great America's roller coasters are like in the like the fives, This was easily a 9. It's I don't think I've been on a 10, but I've heard descriptions of 10s. So this is a very good roller coaster. Totally worth it.
Well, if you can't ride a 10, ride two fives.
True words. True words. Anyway, I think it's called for probably bad reasons. It's called like the Hollywood Rip Roaring Roller Coaster or something like that. And the one of the other features of it is when you pull the lap belt over, it has a screen on it, and you're supposed to pick your soundtrack. So
What?
it has these speakers that are right around your head, and I think it's also to aid in any kind of like trauma. You can like I think they're meant to be kind of a like a brace for you, but they're speakers, and they play the music that you want, and you get to choose from like six different genres, and then there are six different artists under each one.
Any Hans
So,
Zimmer?
no, unfortunately, they did not have classical as one of the choices. It was like metal, electronica, rap, country, or I think it was just straight up rock or something like that, some generic rock. I chose to ride around to Daft Punk's Stronger, Harder, Faster, or whatever the. You know which one I'm talking about. The
Yeah, we
one
know
that
what you're talking about.
was. And that was good. But yeah, there was the show. They had John Bon Jovi, and like they kept making a big deal of pointing it out that it is not Bon Jovi that's playing. It was John Bon Jovi and the Kings of Suburbia, which I guess is his kind of new current solo project thing.
Oh, so it wasn't the band Bon Jovi, not everyone else wasn't there.
Right. No Richie, no Pico, no.
Oh.
So it was an okay show. I mean, it was good. It was not one that I would have paid for, maybe, though. I think a lot of the my enjoyment of Bon Jovi is kind of wrapped up in a nostalgia factor. So what was a little odd was he, I mean, he's a good showman, obviously. He's a good musician. It was good from that point of view, but I wanted like a bunch of songs, and I think he played four Bon Jovi songs, and then almost the entire rest of his set, the other 12 or so songs were covers, which I thought was interesting because everyone's gonna know them and everyone's gonna like sing along, and I think his songs have that very like, yeah, you're having fun and you're gonna sing along. You're gonna be singing along to the song by the end of the song because it's honestly kind of repetitive.
I have one question about Bon Jovi
Okay.
or John Bon Jovi. Did you get to hear the Deadly Sketch theme song?
I don't believe we did.
What?
Yeah.
Worst concert ever.
What is the name of that song?
I believe it's Wanted, Dead or
Oh
Alive.
no. They did play that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I was gonna say you got hosed
Okay,
if you
no,
didn't hear that
but
song.
we got
Your
the
company
acoustic
paid out good money.
we got like an acoustic version of Living on a Prayer.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was really like, Blaze of Glory, and he didn't play it. That's fine. That's fine. That's one of the nostalgia kicks in. I mean, he did play, I think, three songs that were from like the two like late 2000s, like tw like the teens, the 20 teens, and not a lot of people were singing along to those, so it's not I
Oh,
think,
of his songs from the later years?
yeah, so I think the crowd were not necessarily were probably on the same page as me, like looking for certain songs. But what I stumbled across on the internet in order, when I was reflecting on this was there's a website called setlist.fm where people can just upload the song lists that people play, at concerts, and they'll put the date and the venue and the band, so you can look everything up. So you can look up your favorite concerts or whatever concerts you've gone to, and kind of, or concerts you want to see, and see what they've played in the past, which I think is an interesting thing. I might have to do that. I mean, there's some amount of potential spoilers in that. Not only does it show like the set list, it does, they also will point out the encores, which I don't know. I think the whole conceit of the encore, the planned encore, is kind of
not a thing.
Yeah.
It's like, save me 15 minutes of sitting around waiting for you to come back out. I can, it's parking time. I bet it's a vast conspiracy by the parking industry so that you go over your however many, you're into that next hour and you're paying for more parking. Think about it, man.
Well, the other kind of thing about the convention, the work part of the convention, I'm not going to talk directly apart because you don't want to hear about what I do for work. That's not a thing. But what I thought was an interesting thing was that the kind of not costumes but almost it is really a costume. It's like cosplay, but it's cosplay for business people. So it's primarily kind of a sales conference, and so it's the company's kind of sales engineers and account managers and stuff like that. And I noticed that there is a kind of clothes hierarchy that's just kind of built into it, and so it's really funny. Like I really was paying attention to it this year, and so like the kind of standard issue sales look is at these conferences anyway is it's kind of, I guess that's what people say when they actually say business casual. This is what it means. It's a suit with a pressed shirt, but no tie. And so it's business, but it's casual, right? And that's what their definition of kind of business casual. And that was the majority of people that I would see over the course of the convention. But what I would see is sometimes you'd see guys who were not wearing their suit jacket. So they were just wearing like a dress shirt and slacks. And I was figuring out that those are kind of like the one level up managers. And they're, because they don't have to wear the coat, they're like, they're ready for business because they had to take their coat off in order to do whatever thing they're going to do. And then there's kind of another tier of people. And these are guys who are wearing maybe a dress shirt and a suit jacket, but they're wearing it with jeans. And those guys are execs. It's like, we're normally wearing suits all the time, but we're going to kind of dress down and be with regular people at this convention.
This is what regular people dress like, right?
Right, exactly. And then there's a subset of folks who are pretty much just wearing like I don't know how else to describe it, but it's like athletic wear. Like they're wearing kind of,
oh, those are called mobsters.
Under Armour kind of like tops and stuff, and I just don't understand the thing beyond that, but they are those seem to be like the newest salespeople. Like I don't know if it's a hazing thing, like you don't get to wear a suit jacket your first convention or something, but I did see a bunch of guys that were just like did you just go work out? What are you doing?
They're always on the move, selling sales.
Something. Making always sales. Always be closing.
Yes.
And then I didn't really notice a lot of differentiation in the women's outfits, other than women in business formal wear is a thing. Which is funny because there are certainly less women in the conference than men, but there's kind of a there's a higher like plumage kind of thing for the women that are out. It's very hot. I don't understand the thing, but the sales crowd guys, I mean, as guys and gals, as much as I loved hanging out with them, I think I've pretty much gotten my fill for the year.
You're ready to go back to the nerd village?
My people. It would be good. Yeah, but I'm in what did I say? Beautiful and picturesque Orlando for one more day.
Yeah, no pictures, no proof. No this, pictures that didn't happen.
Right. This thread is useless without pics. Yeah, I think it's very strange. So we, like I said, we went to Universal Studios yesterday, and we're in kind of the convention hub of where all the convention hotels are, and that's also where, you know, kind of in between all of the theme parks, and there's just a strange group of people that are out at any one time, like walking around. So it's mostly convention goers, but there are a few families that I guess are vacationing in January for whatever reason. And yeah, it's just an odd like set of folks when you go to a restaurant and whatever. So I had an interesting experience. I went to a Miller's Ale House, which is kind of a mostly Florida chain of restaurants. And it's kind of, you know, kind of sports bar-y. But I swear to you, it is the cheapest beer ever. Like, I wasn't sure if there was an actual connection with Miller beer. I mean, it's Miller's in the name, but I didn't see any logos. So I thought, okay, well, good. Then maybe they'll have some good beer. And no, unfortunately. Almost all of the taps were actually, there was Miller, there were Coors, there was Bud, there was a Red Hook, yeah, it was just like an odd set. I mean, they're.
No, obviously... I'm pretty sure that's a normal set, Alan. We're just spoiled in California.
It is possible. I mean, the bar tab was pretty cheap for what I was getting. So, but it was funny because I went on Sunday when the NFL playoffs were going, and the place was packed. I mean, it was stuffed to the gills. So that was kind of a fun experience. It was nice to do that, and it was packed with people who were not convention goers, which I liked.
And I expect not as many Niner fans.
No, actually, there was a really strong Niner contingent that I. Somehow was not sitting next to when I walked in. So like, I was like, yeah. And then everyone around me is like glaring. The crowd over on the other side of the bar is cheering. I'm like, I'm going to move. I'm just going to move.
Tactical retreat.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, the latest thing in Florida though, you know, don't text in your movie theater, apparently.
Kind of, yeah, you shouldn't deal. Do that anywhere, but especially there.
Yeah, I saw that story because I think it happened over the weekend,
mm-hmm.
And I had just gotten in and was like setting everything up, and I was like, oh, maybe I'll go see a movie this weekend. I'm like, oh no. So that was kind of a rough kind of thing. I mean, you know. Texting in movie theaters while the movie's going, not a thing. Using firearms to settle your disputes in a movie theater, probably also not a thing.
I would say pretty much anywhere that would be not a thing. That's not movie theater exclusive. Unless you're in maybe some sort of Old West ghost town, and then that's perfectly acceptable. Like if you're on a trip to Deadwood in North Dakota or whatever, that's fine. Pistols at dawn.
No, noon. It's always high noon.
Oh yeah, that's the one. Dawn's way too early to go shooting.
Wake up or
That
you're
sounds like
dead.
more of a, isn't that more of a British thing? Pistols to Don?
Oh, I guess
That's
that
like
was.
old timey.
Yeah.
And
That's
then the
like.
West were like, oh, we'll call it noon.
It was a more relaxed time.
Pistols at brunch.
Oh, you're, that's where the Bloody Mary kind of stuff comes from, or I'm
Sure.
doing that wrong. I'm sure that's a I'm doing that wrong.
Well, we're doing the podcast right, so I think we're gonna pull the plug on this baby.
Excellent. Excellent. It's good to be on the air. I think we had a little kind of scheduling snafu, mostly because Eastern time and drinking are not compatible with podcasting kind of in the early evening on the West Coast. So I'm glad we were able to pull it together before before the week ended. But I'm hoping, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm hoping we have a guest for next week. So
Oh,
we'll
really?
see. We'll see. Yes,
We shall see.
I'm wrangling as I can. So we'll see what we can do, and yeah. Go Niners.
Until next time.
See you later, Brendan.